On the line with us, the KSRO live line, is Claire Evans. She is the author of a new book called Broadband. Two words. Good morning, Claire. Glad to have you here today.
Happy to be here.
And you've written this book about female visionaries who have always been at the vanguard of technology and innovation. Now, Claire, hang on just a minute. Women aren't that involved in technology, and we don't even like computer science. And I've never heard about women being a part of this particular industry. What are you talking about here?
Hey, a lot of women like computer science.
Hey, tongue firmly in cheek.
You know, in the 1960s, women were half of the workforce in the computing industry and earned like half of the computer science degrees at universities until the 1980s. Women invented computer programming, and that's not even an exaggeration. That's the stone-cold historical truth. There is a rich history of women in tech, and it's only in the last, you know, few decades that we've come to this assumption that tech should be necessarily male-dominated. But that's a historical anachronism.
Yeah, I think I know the answer to this, Claire, but why don't we know about this?
You know, it's hard to say. I think the nature of the medium, you know, technology moves really quickly. The internet is constantly rewriting itself. It's difficult to hold on to history at all. And, you know, a lot of the contributions made by women in the early history of computer science were contributions that weren't seen as important until fairly recently. So, you know, back in the day, programming was seen as something that was secretarial, something that was menial, clerical, not as important as building machines and building infrastructure. So the sort of the super importance of these women who contributed to the development of software engineering, it wasn't really seen until software engineering itself was seen as being something on the level with hardware engineering.
Well, we all loved the story involved with Hidden Figures, the story about the women of NASA who were really instrumental in United States space travel. And so that, I think, really not just set the bar, but unveiled the bar in terms of women's contributions in some of these, some of these other areas, alternative areas. And so broadband, I am assuming, follows it along those lines.
Yes, absolutely. The history begins way back in the Victorian era, and at least in terms of my book, ends with the dot-com bubble, but it continues today. It's a long lineage with all kinds of interesting contributions.
I mean, how can the tech industry begin in the Victorian era, Claire?
Well, the very earliest computing machines were made by a man named Charles Babbage in the Victorian age. And they were called engines, the analytical engine and the difference engine. But the lead programmer on those machines was a woman. Her name was Ada Lovelace, and she created mathematical proofs for these crazy steampunk contraptions that anticipated a lot of the conventions of computer programming that we still use today.
And so what are some of the other important names of female contributors to the tech industry?
Oh, there's lots. Throughout the 1940s and 50s, a ton of women worked on programming computing machines throughout World War II. So we're talking about people like Grace Hopper, the women of the ENIAC 6, which is a group of six women who worked on the ENIAC computer at the University of Pennsylvania. At the development of the internet itself, of the networked computing convention known as ARPANET, there was a woman named Jake Feindler who ran Central Information Office for the entire internet. I mean, literally, if you had a question about the internet, you would call this office, and this woman would pick up the phone for close to 20 years and would tell you where everything was. She was the one woman Google for a couple of decades. There are community developers, interactive designers, programmers. I mean, for me, what I think is so fascinating about this history is there are tons of really technical women, and I think that that's a very important thing to emphasize. But the internet, computing, these are social technologies. They're technologies that influence culture.
Yes.
What we do with them is just as important as how they're built. So a lot of the people in my book are people who would have been perhaps ignored in more technical histories, people like game designers and website developers and online community builders. All this stuff that is as vital to the development of the technology, which really gives a technology its shape, are included in the history as well. So it's a wide range of fun and funny pioneers.
Nothing wrong with a little humor to go along with any period of change, that's for sure. So the 50s and the 60s, you say women were about half of the workforce in the tech industry. What happened?
It's kind of a combination of factors. I mean, the first generation of people to tackle computer programming were female because it wasn't considered to be an important thing yet. Once they kind of articulated that programming was going to be as important as hardware, that it was going to be an art form or a language of its own, they were sort of edged out. I mean, they first of all, this first generation aged out of the field, but then as computing developed and professionalized and became a major sort of money-making engine as well, you know, there were a lot of things that happened. There was wage disparity. There was a lack of mentorship as this first generation of women aged out. There was a structural unwillingness to make space for childcare that exists today, and a shift in the kind of professional credentials and required to get a job as a programmer. So it's been suggested by a lot of historians that the professionalization of software engineering led to its implicit masculinization, and that seems to have set a kind of male-dominant precedent that's only reinforced itself through marketing and our own you know, assumptions about what technology is.
So what needs to happen to change that again?
You know, it's funny. I spent the last 3 years writing a book about history, and everyone's always asking me about the future. I think there's a lot of important things that have to happen. I mean, there has to be the wage gap. You know, there has to be no wage gap. There has to be opportunities and mentorship for women. There has to be heroes for women. I mean, that's part of what I want to do with this book, is to make sure that young women understand that they're not breaking into something that isn't theirs, that they're actually reclaiming space in a field that has belonged to them for, you know, for hundreds of years, literally. So, you know, I don't think you can see yourself clearly in the future of a technology if you can't see yourself in the past and if you don't have a foundation. So
that's a very good point, because you cannot have that future unless you have that past.
It's certainly a lot easier. You know, it's a lot easier to position yourself in the lineage of people rather than think that you're, you know, breaking into something that's never been yours.
I feel like we need a companion piece to Rosie the Riveter now. I feel like, you know, based on what you're telling me and the importance of what women had to do with technology, there should be maybe just, you know, we don't want to replace, but an addition with a nice, you know, well-done photograph that is all around women and computer science right up there next to Rosie.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea.
I like that.
There you go. Yeah, Rosie the Programmer. Sounds like good. We just need to get a few thousand T-shirts made up to get a start on this. What brought you to write this book, Claire?
Well, you know, I've always considered myself to be someone who is like a net native. You know, my father worked for Intel. We had computers in the home as long as I could remember. I never felt growing up that computers were for boys or for girls. Mm-hmm. You know, my computer was a portal to the world, and that was really liberating. It helped me, you know, define myself as a person and as a writer. I think, you know, I got to a point a couple of years ago where I started to feel as though online culture and digital culture was no longer as simple. You know, I had a harder time positioning myself and feeling like as a woman I had a space that was mine in the wild world of the web. And I was trying to understand where that feeling came from and understand what changed. So, you know, I've always been fascinated with history, so my impulse was to look backwards. And what I found, I think, gave me a stronger foundation to stand on.
I have a feeling
in digital space today.
I have a feeling that this is not the last book that's going to come out of you, Claire, just based on this 15-minute conversation. The book is called Broadband, two words, Broadband, about how much women had to do with the tech industry as we look in the rearview mirror and hopefully as we look forward as well. Thanks for being here, Claire. It's a very interesting book.
Thank you for having me.
Claire Evans is her name. She is the author of Broadband.